I'm Jen, your resident girl mom.
And I'm Julie, your resident boy mom.
We are moms with busy families and careers. Sometimes our lives get chaotic and crazy. We are lucky to have each other to lean on, laugh with, cry with, and sympathize with.
Join us each week as we talk about being moms and raising kids in the Treasure Valley, Idaho.
We're back, and this week we're going to talk about schools. I think it's a big topic, especially for parents in the Treasure Valley, and there's a lot of things to know about schools in Idaho.
I agree. And when I moved to Idaho, I thought I knew how to register my kids for school. I came from California, as we've talked about before, and I was a teacher in California. I really did know how the schools worked there and how public education worked. And so I thought, you know, that skill set, that knowledge set would transfer when I moved to Idaho. And the fact that I had had kids that had already been through school, I thought I knew what I was doing. And it took me about a year before I really figured out what was happening here. And I wished I had known when I first arrived in Idaho.
Yeah. And I think something that's so important today, which probably wasn't back when we were young, you know, when we were young, my mom put my brother and I in the school district that we were assigned to, and that was it. We went, you know, all the way through elementary school, middle school, high school, nothing. But today, I think we are more aware of kids' needs. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, my kids are two totally different students. They learn very differently. And what I'm doing for my younger daughter and what we're doing for my older daughter, two totally different paths for school.
When my oldest son, who's now 22, started kindergarten, I obsessed about where he was going to go to school. And he did, he went to almost his entire school career in California. But I obsessed about it because I had been a public school teacher at the time. And I had only just quit teaching when he started kindergarten. And so I'm sure most people looked at me like, that you're a first time mom. This is just what happens when you're a mom for the first time. But no, I now have a second grader who I have obsessed as well about where he was going to go to school. And I did the same thing with the other two kids because they all just had different needs and different things that would suit them best. I wanted to find what was best for them, where I don't think that our parents didn't care what was best for us. I think that just wasn't really the mindset. And I don't think that we're snobby parents or anything like that for wanting what's best for our kids. But I think the opportunities and the options are available. Where maybe when we were kids, it was like private school because of a religious reason, or perhaps a socioeconomic reason. But that was pretty much the only reason you went to a private school. It wasn't because your parents were looking for alternate education. And if they did that, maybe it was homeschooling. I don't know if that was the same for you.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I was just counting it up. We are in our sixth home. My kids are 13 and 10, and we're about to move into our sixth house since having kids. And the very first house we bought was prior to having kids, and we bought that house because it was in like the pristine school district mm-hmm. of North San Diego. And then we realized, you know, the house wasn't the ideal fit, wasn't what we thought it was going to be. The neighborhood was pretty stringent, and as far as an HOA, and so my husband got kind of sick of that because we do have, you know, recreational vehicles and stuff like that. And so we sold. And the whole reason we had bought in that neighborhood was we wanted that school district. And by the time my daughter started kindergarten, when we found, you know, well, we ended up renting because the house fell through that we were buying and all these things. But anyways, the house we ended up buying was great for our family at the time and the space, but the schools around it were not great. I mean, we're talking they were rated 2 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard that from parents, like, oh, you can't always go off of the ratings. So anyways, we went the private school option.
But that's so expensive too.
Yeah. I mean, and we did find a smaller private school that was, you know, half of what some of the private schools were going for. And, you know, it is one of the reasons I continued working so that we could have those kids, our kids in that school.
And California has magnet schools and charter schools, but I just don't think it's the same as Idaho. Idaho's choices are great. Surprisingly, were quite a bit greater. When I was choosing schools for my kids, I wanted my kids to be in schools that had a small number. We lived in an area that was really densely populated, and so our schools, our public schools, were really large. Like, I had an exchange student that went to the high school where my house was. There were 895 kids in her graduating class, and maybe it would have been overwhelming for my kids, but it was overwhelming for me. I didn't want to have my family at a school with that many kids. Maybe lots of kids thrive. I don't have really great, like, my kids aren't these amazing athletes that needed to be at a school like that, because those are the ones, a school like that, if your kid is on one of the sports teams, they're very talented because they have such a large pool. And so if you have a very talented soccer player, going to a large school like that is really beneficial if you're looking to play in college and things like that. But I didn't have kids like that.
And that was one of our reasons for private school, was the school in our neighborhood had 35 kids per classroom. Mm-hmm. And the private school we ended up selecting capped at 20. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like the kids had a lot of individualized attention. My daughter did not want to continue in private school when middle school hit, and we told her that was totally fine. And my theory on that is, I loved the private school for kind of starting out, but I did want her to experience a public school under my roof, because I know the decisions get harder. I'm going to tell you, the Christian school we were in, it was a bubble. I mean, they didn't struggle with hard choices. Mm-hmm. We were blessed with a lot of great families, and you know, no one was really getting in trouble.
My kids went to a Christian school and my kids got in trouble. So it was my kids that were the bad kids. Not really, but there were opportunities for them to get in trouble there too. But I would just say
the risk was probably
much lower,
a lot less. And the things maybe they were getting in trouble for weren't quite the same, but we did tell her, okay, totally get it. So we applied for a magnet school, and same thing, it was a lottery. We got in, and then the pandemic hit, so she never actually set foot on that campus. We did online.
I didn't know that.
But that was what drove our move to Idaho. Was really my oldest.
Then fast forward us moving to Idaho, you know, and our move to Idaho actually had something to do with a school, but not related to that. But we moved here, and my thought was, I had my kids in private school all this time. We needed to try the public schools. We were moving to Idaho for a better environment. So I was all in. I was going to do like what my parents did. I was going to send my kids to our neighborhood schools. Now, of course, I did research where the schools were and which ones I thought would be great ones. But honestly, I didn't know. I read the Great Schools report. So if you don't know, there is a website called greatschools.com. And it's a rating of 10 to 1, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest. And there aren't a great number of schools that get 10s. Generally, if you find a school that are 8, 9, or 10s, they're probably good schools. And I know what was considered a good school where we moved from, and some of them were 8s. And sometimes, like, the junior high would be 8 and the high school would be 10. But my recommendation on great schools, read the reviews. See what people say, because sometimes it could be a 10, but the one complaint is they give a lot of homework. And if you have a kid like mine who homework is going to be a battle, it didn't matter if the school was a 10. If that kid was going to have 3 hours of homework a night, that's not a good fit for my family, even if it's a great fit for yours. So those kinds of things on great schools were really important. So I went through, read all the reviews, figured out kind of which schools we were looking at. And I was looking at the high schools. And my kids had certain things that they wanted to be able to do in high school, certain classes. So we ended up in Eagle, and they were my kids are in Meridian schools. And that was fine, but I didn't know. There were so many things I didn't know about registering my kids for school that still had to do with neighborhood schools. So I didn't understand about schools of choice. I don't know how you say it.
School of choice.
And then also I didn't understand about charter schools, and everything is a lottery here. And I also had no idea how you got onto that lottery system or what would be the advantage of it.
Well, and when we were moving here, really our criteria, so my daughter never set foot on her California middle school campus. She is very active in softball, and that was completely shut down. We did try to hold a practice, and someone called the police. So, you know, Californians kind of understand what we went through in the pandemic, and I think a lot of Idahoans are like, why didn't you come here? Because it was an open state. And so when we were Googling Meridian just kept coming up, and we chose the house based on the elementary school, middle school, high school were all within walking distance of the house, so that was a plus for us. And also, the elementary school was a 9, the middle school was a 10, the high school was a 10, so we thought, okay, this is the neighborhood, we're going to just go public full on for both kids. And we have now listed that house. We've moved again. Not anything to do really with the schools. We just found a house that was a better fit for our family.
But then there's that whole factor of now you have to think about the school
the
choice
school again.
And
so my younger one, like I said, she was in private all through fourth grade. And then we came here during her fourth grade year. So she, or sorry, her third grade year. So she did her third grade year, half of it public, her entire fourth grade year public. And what we realized was a charter school, smaller environment is where she thrives. She was a little overwhelmed. So luckily where we moved to, they've got one of, you know, the great charter schools here in the Treasure Valley. And again, it's a lottery. So by the time we realized we're moving and where we were buying a house, we missed the lottery. Fortunately, her grade level was accepting students because they are trying to build out their middle school, and that's where she'll head next year. But my older daughter thrives in public school. She loves the big class sizes. She's very into sports. So we chose kind of an area where softball is pretty big. It's big in the middle school, the high school. She sees a lot of the girls she plays with. But again, it's hard to choose, like, what school, you know. And then there are people who it's like, well, I really want this house or I want this neighborhood, but then maybe they do look at the great schools ratings and mm-hmm. they start to question. So I guess our point is you have a lot of options in Idaho, whether it's a charter, whether it's a magnet, whether it's a school of choice, whether you want to go the private option. But we've also got some great public school options.
Well, and what's really interesting is it really feeds my obsessive heart. You have to decide in January that you want to put your name in for the lottery systems. So we were here for a year, and my son went to the public school that was zoned for the house we were living in at the time. Loved the school, but we ended up moving. We were renting when we first moved here, then we bought our house. And when we bought our house, the neighborhood school we didn't know anything about, but we were perfectly happy to go there. Now, here is the mistake, not really a mistake, but something that has kind of happened to us more than one time. We have lived in neighborhoods where there is no neighborhood school multiple times in our life. And so, again, we live in a neighborhood, there's no neighborhood school. And so the neighborhood school, the kids get bused to, and it's a school that has a whole neighborhood, and then there's one more neighborhood that gets bused there. And so I did look at that and go, okay, it looks like a great school, but what are some of our other options? So at this point, I had lived here a year and learned that there were charter schools, schools of choice, and then the regular public school, and then there's also private schools. We had opted to not do the private school option because we have so many kids and we've already paid for it a long time. So we're going to try to go the public school route. I'm an advocate for it all. I've homeschooled. My kids have been in public school. My kids have been in private school. You need to do what's best for your kids. And at this point, we felt like public school was going to be the best. And so we looked at which schools we were able to be within the busing districts, because some of the schools of choice, you can apply to them, but if you're not in the neighborhood of the busing district, how the lotteries typically work is they have a busing district and siblings get priority. And then it's the students in the lottery that are within the busing district. And then it's the students that are in the lottery outside of the busing district. So we looked at the schools that were within our busing district and we applied to all of them. And I actually sent my fourth grader to our neighborhood school because he had met some kids in our neighborhood and he wanted to go to school with them, and they rode the bus together and it was all great. But I had a kindergartner and I thought, okay, this is going to be my one kid who maybe goes to the same school, doesn't move 100 times. So I really gave it a lot of thought of where did I think I wanted to get him started. So we had chosen one of the STEM schools and put his name in for the lottery, as well as a couple of other charter schools that we were interested in. And it was really disappointing to not get into them in the lottery system. And we did get into the STEM school that he wanted to go to. And that STEM school was a K-8 school. So my, at the time, elementary school student has now moved over to the junior high portion, which really feeds me because it's very small. And I now I'm obsessing because he's in seventh grade about where is he going to go to high school, because the high schools that we're zoned for is quite large. And I feel like he's my one kid who doesn't need a large school. And even he will ask me, so mom, where am I going to go to high school? And all of his friends are going to one high school. And we're within the busing district of the school he goes to, but we're not in the busing district of the high school that most of the kids that go there go to, which is, it's super frustrating. The boundaries are crazy. And I don't know if this happened in your neighborhood, but in the neighborhood I'm in, they've rezoned it. And the kids that go, the neighborhood school that they go to now is not the same as it was 4 years ago.
Well, and that's the other thing I was going to say. So when we first got to Idaho, we rented while the house we selected was being built. And again, we picked that house based on all three schools are walking distance. Mm-hmm. All three schools have great ratings. And before the house was even done being built, we got rezoned.
Yeah.
Which I was okay with. It was further from the house, so either busing or driving my daughter's school was going to be the option. But it was a brand new high school. And so I was thinking, oh my gosh, the technology, mm-hmm. all the things she'll have access to. And then here we go again. We're moving. So, well, you know, I guess my point on that is don't have your heart set on it, because the growth that's happening in Idaho and the amount of homes that are being built, mm-hmm. You're going to see these rezones. And one of the things that, you know, I went to the meeting for the rezone and they said it could be rezoned by the time your daughter even gets to high
exactly.
school.
Exactly. Yeah. And where we live, because our kids are, we live in Eagle, but our kids are zoned in a Meridian school and they're bused there. Every time they rezone, I think, well, we're the kids that are bused. Are we going to get rezoned again? And I think that this past rezoning, our neighborhood, it didn't happen to you because it had happened the previous time. I would recommend to anybody moving into the Treasure Valley, and I don't know Boise that well in terms of the southeast side, how they're rezoning or whether or not they're building schools. But if you're moving to Eagle or North Meridian or West Meridian, I would, you know, take what school you're zoned for with a little grain of salt that it may change. And I read an article yesterday about the Dry Creek Ranch that's being mm-hmm. built, that there's some controversy over. West Ada saying that they'll put a school there in 10 years, but the parents want a school there now and are looking for a charter school. And the article that I read said that they're not willing to put the charter school. And whatever the builder is, I don't know who the commission is, or there was a decision-making body that decided that they're not going to put a charter school there, that they're going to wait and let West Ada do it in 10 years, which means that those kids have to drive into Eagle or Boise, which is a long bus ride for a lot of these kids and a really big commitment for the parents.
And then that's the whole, how early are you getting your kid up for school? Then you run into, you know, you're waking your kid up at 5:45 in the morning mm-hmm. so they can sit on a bus for 45 minutes.
It's all fine for elementary that starts at 9 o'clock. But when you have a high schooler who starts at 7:45, actually, even at my house, there is a bus that comes to my house for the high school. And the high school is, you know, a few miles away. The bus comes at like 6:20.
Yeah, it's too early for kids. I will say we did move to a 4-day-a-week school system.
I am so jealous about that.
I'm super excited. So those of you that are local and know the area, you definitely know what district we just moved to. But I'm super excited about it. And we read a lot of studies on it. And they're saying the teachers, there's so many teachers that have perfect attendance in that district that, you know, have never had to get a sub. Because, you know, if you think about being a teacher, right, they don't have the luxury of telling your boss, I'm going to take a long lunch, or mm-hmm. I'm going to go to an appointment, or they can go see their kid do whatever, get that award. And so it's just been a great thing for doctor's appointments. And I'll tell you, for me, I've got two kids in braces, and I just took them before they started school. And it was like, oh, when do you want the next appointment? And it was just so nice to go any Friday. I don't care what time. It doesn't have to be early morning or late afternoon. Any Friday.
When Austin, one of my middle kids, he sees the orthodontist. He doesn't have braces yet, but he's done a lot of other pre-braces work. And so we see the orthodontist fairly frequently. And I'm like, please get us in at 8 o'clock so that he's not late for school, because they go so frequently.
Yeah.
And my oldest son, who did wear braces, that was always an issue, trying to get him into the orthodontist before and after school. 4 days a week sounds amazing. I think for my job too.
Well, I'm really excited. And I have, you know, talked with my husband and my colleagues, and I said, I'm really going to work hard to really work Monday through Thursday so that we can explore more. And mm-hmm. we love to take a lot of weekend trips. So I am just thrilled, like, being able to leave on a Thursday night.
Right.
We do a lot of softball tournaments, and, you know, before they are missing school on Friday mm-hmm. to get to an out of state tournament. So for us, I think it's going to be a great fit for our lifestyle, for our family. But I guess, you know, okay, so we've talked about all these different options. Like, let's talk about tips for parents. I mean, my biggest tip is look at your child and see where they will best thrive. I mean, my oldest is social. She's outgoing. She loves sports. She loves art. She loves drama and choir. So the public school that we're zoned for is the perfect fit for her. She has no issue with lots of people. Now, my younger one gets overwhelmed in situations that there's too many people. She's not super into sports. She would prefer arts. And so, you know, to me, it is a little odd. I'm going to have kids that go to two different schools. They will likely graduate from two different high schools.
I have always had kids that go to different schools because my kids are so far apart in age. So I can totally appreciate
that. But I mean, I guess what I want moms or parents, dads to know is that is okay. Mm-hmm. I think I had this idea in my head of, like, they've got to go to the same school or this or that.
I had that idea. Okay. I had that idea because I moved a lot as a little girl. And so I went to so many elementary schools. And by the time I got to junior high and high school, we lived in the same house. But I had moved so much as a young child that when I have kids, I'm not going to do that to them. Well, then when I actually had kids, keeping them in the same place wasn't necessarily right for them. So having that ideal of keeping a kid at the same school, and I talked to my friend about it, and she said to me, she is American, but her family is Cuban. And we were talking about moving to Idaho, and I'm like, oh my goodness, my kids are moving schools again. And she said, you know, Julie, that is such an American way to think, that your kids need to go to the same school, K-12, be with the same friends. She said, it's okay for your kids to learn how to make new friends, to learn how to have different groups of people. And that was super reassuring to me, because I had felt so much guilt about moving my kids to another school. And that also did help me. My middle child has moved schools the most for various reasons, most of which we moved. But the last time I moved him, I felt a lot of guilt about moving him again, but it was the right decision for him. And he's in a great place now, and it was the best decision I could have made.
Well, and, you know, I just told you, we're in the process of moving right now. We're moving into our sixth house. It'll be the sixth house that my children have lived in. And it was the same. I had all this guilt, mm-hmm. but they are so resilient, and they do have friends. They have their California friends that mm-hmm. they stay in touch with. And Roblox is a big thing in our house. And I think there's so many more ways for kids to keep in touch. Mm-hmm. And my kids were actually really excited about this last move. And we sat them down and we said, look, we like the house. It kind of aligns with our long-term goals and retirement goals. And I hope this is going to be the house that you stay in as they finish high school. Although I did say that about the last house. We're not going to move until my youngest finishes high school. And 15 months later, we listed the house. But they are so resilient. They make friends. And my daughter's already, you know, planning get-togethers with the friends in the old neighborhood. And I'm thinking, this is actually a great thing. She's mm-hmm. going to have lots of friends from all walks of life. She's kind of that way in general. She's got, you know, her athletic friends. She has her drama friends and her choir friends. And so it's been interesting to see, but they really wanted to move. I mean, we sat them down and we said, if you're not willing to switch schools, because, you know, where the move is just far enough away, we couldn't keep them. I mean, and you can do inter-district transfers mm-hmm. and all that, but it's a completely different school district. And they both were really excited. I think my younger one was excited because she feels the charter school is closer to when she went to private school. It was
feels like the right kind of school.
It was her second day that I just dropped her off for today. And she was just so excited to get out of the car. And she said, I love the smaller class size.
Oh, that's good.
And that was big to her. She was always used to 20 kids. So she was just overwhelmed. And she gets easily overwhelmed in general. So,
but
don't
even
have
if
guilt.
It, yeah. Even if it's you who gets overwhelmed, because in my kid's case, it's me. It's me mm-hmm. who's overwhelmed at the large school size. I have a difficult time connecting with the parents when it's so big. That's okay, because my kids need me there. So if it's a good fit for me, sometimes that helps it to be a good fit for your kids. Now, for my tip is I would, if you're thinking about coming to Idaho or you're already here in Idaho and you aren't sure where you want your kids to be, the lottery applications start in January for the charter schools and for the schools of choice. The deadlines for the lottery application, I think, are in February for some and March for others, but
correct.
By the beginning of March for all of them. And then they do the lottery drawings at the end of February and the beginning of March. You can apply for all of them. Now, here is the main tip I would give. So I had one charter school I really wanted my kids to go to, and only my high schooler got in the first year, and he didn't want to change schools, and I didn't make him. And so we opted to not go there. And so I applied the next year again, and none of my kids got in. And so we made alternate arrangements. What I didn't know is come October, oftentimes they pull kids in from that lottery that didn't get in initially, because kids have applied to multiple lotteries and then gone to different schools along the way. So even if you don't get in initially, there is an opportunity sometimes in the early fall that you could switch. So if you have your heart set on a school, that could be a possibility. I was not willing to change at that point. And if I could go back in time, maybe I would have thought about it differently, but my mindset wasn't there. But if you have it in your head that, oh, maybe we will still get in October, then that's still a possibility. So keep that in mind. But we're getting, I mean, school is barely starting for 2022. And really the January enrollment for the following school year will come up really quickly. So you have to be right on top of it. So if you're coming into Idaho, you have to have an Idaho address to be able to do it. But if you know you're going to be buying or moving here, that's something to think about coming in that January, February month, especially for the schools of choice and charter schools.
Well, and I really think, too, what I love about the charter schools and schools of choice, you can live where you want to live.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the house that you truly want to buy, the house that best fits your family. You know, when we moved here, we drove where we purchased a home based on those school ratings and based on the school district I thought I wanted to be in. It was great. It was a brand new house. There's not a lot to complain about in a brand new house. But at the end of the day, it didn't really fit what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're moving into what we really wanted and what we came to Idaho for. And I wasn't as worried about the schools, knowing there are options. You are not zoned to, I mean, you are, you do have your zone to a school, but you have these options of charter school of choice.
That is actually a good distinction too. So some states have schools of choice where you can just choose which school you want to go to. Idaho is a little bit different. The same, whichever state you come from. But you have a neighborhood and you're zoned for that neighborhood, and they have the districts. You can go on the district website and they have all of the streets labeled as to which school you have to go to. You have to provide the two proofs of residence, just like a school district that is zoned in other states. They also have schools of choice, which are part of the school district. And you can live anywhere. And I explained earlier how the lottery system works. So there are lottery system schools, and I don't think there are any that are not lottery system. And it's not just elementary school. There's middle schools and high schools that are schools of choice. I know in West Ada, there's at least two or three schools of choice. And then there's the charter schools, which are not affiliated with the school district. And the only thing about the charter schools that I would say is that they may be on a different calendar. So they may start a week earlier. They may have a different week off for spring break. But that would be the only difference between the charter schools and then obviously where the funding comes from. And then there's lots of private schools. Some are religious affiliated. Some of them are like they have a mission statement or a vision statement for the students, and that's how they're affiliated. So there are actually a lot of choices. I do know since the pandemic, many of the private schools are also full. So that's something you can't just assume, oh, I can get my kid into private school because I'm paying for it. Many of them have full.
And it is why Idaho's on the lottery system. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, just in talking through our charter school experience, they have had so much growth and so many people move here. And they didn't have enough schools. And right. And that's why you are where you are. I do have to ask you this, though, because it is so weird to me that people, I mean, we're starting in August. I mean, the charter school started even a week earlier than public school. When I was a kid, it was the day after Labor Day. Was that how it was in Michigan? I mean, you went to school the day after Labor Day, and you went through the, you know, first or second week of June, and that was that.
Well, that's really funny that you say that, because I was just in Michigan, and we were discussing this with my family. For a while, there was actually a law that schools could not start until after Labor Day because of tourist season. And Michigan, one of their biggest industries is tourism. And so my nephew and niece are starting before Labor Day, and it's a big deal that they can do that. In California, where we live, my kids started the first week in August. So yeah. for them to start here, the middle of August seems normal. My favorite thing is being out at Memorial Day. So
yeah, I am looking forward to that. I mean, my biggest things about this move is the 4-day a week school. I didn't mind that we started early because we get out earlier. And on the charter school, my daughter's got, I think, a February break and an October break that I'm kind of excited for. Of course, my older daughter, well, I don't get that, but I think it'll be nice. You know, she'll have some one-on-one time with me, and you know, I'll have to figure out what we're going to do that week.
That was always the trauma for me when my kids went to different schools, because there was one year that I had a homeschooler, I had a kid in public school, and I had a kid in private school. I think that was, I don't, maybe that wasn't it. I don't remember. All I remember is we had multiple calendars, and it was very, very challenging. But it is challenging as it was for me because of all the different calendars. They loved it because that meant that they got their own special thing that happened.
Yeah. So if you're evaluating where your kid's going to go to school, I mean, some things to think about, you know, what fits with your job? Do you need bus transportation?
Do you need daycare? Because some have daycare, some don't.
Daycare before and after school. Is it close to, you know, a Boys and Girls Club or a YMCA? You know, what is the commute like, or mm-hmm. what is the schedule like? You know, some people do want those extra weeks. I'm kind of excited about that. When does the school go back? So all of these things you can factor in. But at the end of the day, I say the biggest thing is evaluate your child. What is going to be best for them? Mm-hmm. And you know what? If it's two different schools, so be it. I mean, that's where we are, and I'm okay with it. Luckily, they're very close to each other. So drop off and pick up has been easy the past, you know, 2 days. But just evaluate, you know, mm-hmm. what is going to fit them best, and know that you have a lot of options.
Now, I do have to tell one story. So there was one year, 4 kids, and I've had lots of school experiences, good and bad. I had one year where my kids all went to a private school. It was a K-12 school, so they were all on the same campus. And my son could drive.
Oh, so very nice.
He dropped off. He picked up. It was so wonderful, because the problem with private schools, many of them don't have buses. And the one we went to, they did not have a bus. So that was just a really unique experience that has never been replicated since that time. But it was a really nice year, something different. I don't know that it would have been great every year, but it was perfect that year. And we would really like to hear, you know, how did you choose the school your kids go to? What do you think about the school your kids go to? What would you advise people to do differently? And
Let's definitely continue the conversation on Instagram. Find this post, and mm-hmm. we'd love your feedback. And obviously, it would be super helpful to other parents here in the Treasure Valley if you'd like to weigh in.
All right. We will talk to you next time. Thank you for joining us. We will be releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and we would love for you to join us next week.
Follow us on Instagram at Jen and Julie Pod.